This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Two balls, two strikes, two down here. Martin is ready. He throws. Swing and a miss. He got him. Ball game over. Red Sox win a dramatic opener in Detroit. 7-5 the final. Duran was the spark plug. The huge swing from Rafaela, and Martin locks it down. The Red Sox win the first in Detroit 7-5.
That's a big one.
Oh, baby, what a ride it was in Detroit tonight. Red Sox win 7-5 in 10 innings. They had it, then it looked like they were going to lose, and then they pull it out in 10 thanks to a couple of big home runs. The first one coming from Seydon Rafaela, a go-ahead two-run shot, and then Jarren Duran follows it up with a 431-foot blast to cap off a three-extra base hit night. Chris Martin locks it down in the 10th, and here we sit with the Red Sox taking the series opener in Detroit. And now they're three games out of that third wild card spot. We'll see how the Twins ultimately finish out their game tonight. So it could still be 3.5 by night's end. But if the Twins do win and the Sox lost this one, we could be talking about a 4.5 game deficit. So at the very least, we'll be no better than when we started after the Twins game comes to an end if they win. If they lose, the Sox pick up a game on them. And the fact that they won this game is a huge sigh of relief. You can wipe the sweat off your brow. You can wipe it off your forehead. You can take a big deep breath. You can relax, crack one open, and sit here and enjoy some Sox talk. If you're in the car, we are glad you're joining us. Thanks for being with us. Joe Weil with you here. Nico Manganiello behind the glass. And we're going to take you all the way up to 11 p.m. tonight to talk Red Sox baseball. What a win. What a win out of Comerica Park. And I say that because this game could have had such a sour feel to it if they didn't win it, considering they had a 4-0 lead, because they and considering the fact they tried to extend Brennan Bernardino for an extra inning, and it hurt them. And you can argue it one way or another, but he gives up a 3-run home run, and you could feel it. It's like, okay, this is now a game. 1-run game, 4-3 the score, and then Kenley Jansen blows it in the 9th inning. And a credit to Kenley Jansen that he was able to buckle down after giving up the RBI double by Jake Rogers to tie it and get a line out to center that moved Rogers to third, and he buckled down and got the strikeout of Riley Green to end that inning, give the Sox a chance in the 10th, and then Seydon Rafaela with a huge 2-run home run. His home runs continue to be the good luck charm, because now when he homers, the Sox are 13-0 in games that he goes deep in. And they continue to play well away from Fenway Park. That continues to absolutely flummox me. I don't understand it. They're 39-27, second best road record in the sport, only behind the Yankees. But hey, a win's a win. Doesn't matter how you get it, especially this time of year. And we're going to discuss everything about tonight's victory. But again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. We'll give it one more time. 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. Before we get to the calls that are starting to trickle in, let's hear from Alex Cora and what he had to say after the 7-5 victory.
I mean, yeah, but we did a lot of good things, and then that eighth inning happened. Obviously, in the ninth, they put some good at bats, but, you know, give credit to Kenley. He got a big out at the end, you know, with Green, and gave us a chance to put some runs in the 10th. The kid, you know, he wasn't having a good night offensively, and he swung at two fastballs that they had a lot of hop, and he sold out to one of them and got it, you know. And then obviously I think, you know, Jarren hitting the homer, you know, gave us real breathing room. So a good one. Just got to be ready for tomorrow. That's it. You know where we at.
Rafaela also had a big 10th inning home run at Yankee Stadium. So that's like two extra inning home runs. You've said many times he likes the big moment. Why do you think he likes the big moment so much?
You got to ask him. You know, I really don't know. I think, you know, he's just, you know, he's a competitor. And even tonight, you know, when he's not going well, we talk to him. We keep him in the moment, try to help him out, walk him through at bats and all that. he's still learning at the big league level, but he talked about that at bat, and he's like, man, that fastball was great, the first two, so I needed to try to get it, and he did.
Just, after a late night and kind of losing the lead, just the guys having the kind of...
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad that you said it, because sometimes we forget that. You know, I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, sometimes we're like, man, we should have been this and that. But a W is a W. You know, we got here at 2 in the morning, and, it was humid. It was hot. It was a tough one, and we gave up the lead twice. We gave up the lead, and in the ninth, they had the big rally in the eighth, but we were able to get the W. Excellent. He mixed it up. I think the slider was really good, right? And, under control. Yeah, he walked a few guys here and there, right? And the hit by pitch, but he made pitches when he needed it. And, that's why I'm very optimistic. I think we're turning the page starter-wise. You know, they're going deep into the games, giving us a chance to win. So if we continue to do that, it should be fun.
On a night like this, how much energy does Jaren give you with those extra base hits?
I mean, first pitch of the game, like I've been saying all along, you better show up, get here early because something good is going to happen. He hits the ball right away. He's a double. Willie had a great game, too. Got him over, the sack fly. Right now, Jaren, it's kind of like he gets us going. It's fun to watch.
With Slayton getting the final two outs of that eighth inning, just how important. I mean, he hasn't thrown many. He's pretty much thrown all strikes since he's been back of the six hitters he's faced or the five hitters. How important is that you didn't have?
He's huge. He's huge. We talk about getting healthy, right? And having Chris and Slayton back there in the bullpen, it helps us. It just happened, today we needed to go to Slayton in that situation. We got to stop the rally right there, and he did an amazing job. Chris threw the ball well, so we're in a better spot bullpen-wise now than where we were 15 days ago.
You guys are going to take BP again, or is that?
No, probably not.
So a happy Alex Cora after a 7-5 victory in 10 innings against the Detroit Tigers, and the team had been showing up a little bit later when they closed out their series at Fenway, and the way that they approached that actually helped them toward the end of that series, winning two out of the last three. They lost the last game, but this one was important, and obviously every game down the stretch is so important for this team, and this is the type of game we want to hear from you. The calls are starting to roll in. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review, and we're going to start to hit the calls in one moment. But, Alex Cora talking about it there, these types of games, obviously you want to win in cookie-cutter type ways, where you hold on to a lead. And it could have done well for everybody's mental health if the Sox didn't blow their 4-0 lead. But it is another example. Tonight is another example of this team showing its resolve, showing that they can take a punch and then still deliver the knockout blow, as they did tonight. They blow the 4-0 lead, but then your rookie, Seidon Raffaello, who does love these big pressure moments. And Will and Lou were talking about, maybe this is the biggest swing of his young career. You could say that in part because of where the season's at. We're down the stretch. Every game has a little bit more meaning. But he did this in the game at Yankee Stadium where Masataka Yoshida tied it up with two outs and two strikes against Clay Holmes. And then it was Raffaello taking, I think it was Tommy Canley deep in that game to give them the lead at Yankee Stadium in what was a huge game in the season to ultimately pull out in the Bronx. He rises to the occasion, and that's what I love about all these rookies, all these young players, is they really don't show a fear for the big moment. And that's one of my takeaways from this season, whether they make the playoffs or not. You have guys that you can trust in big spots, and they show poise, as Raffaello did, not only in that at-bat, but in this game, to be 0-for-3, 2 for his last 22, and then he ends up popping out a home run in one of the biggest spots of the night. 7-5 the final, Sox a winner over the Detroit Tigers. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review. You can also text us at 37937. And without further ado, let's go to the phones. We'll start with Carl in Westfield. What's going on, Carl?
Well, Joe, wow, October and Halloween Palooza is, we're on the road. So I heard you say we're second best on the road. What, 37 and 20-something?
39 and 27, only behind the Yankees.
Yeah, imagine. Gee, what a surprise. We forget that. And now here we are on the road, like Jason and Megazilla, just Manzilla smashing it and crashing it. And imagine tonight, dominant performance for Vic. The pitching's all of a sudden throwing, slicing, and dicing. And Cora pulls him in time. Surprising, Jansen did that. Before I get to Tyson, Ollie Holyfield, and the two home runs to shut them down in the extra innings, what was the screw-up on defense that started?
Wait a
that
minute, Carl, I got to stop you for 1 second. Are you watching Star Wars in the background?
No, I'm on Court Street camera right now.
Oh, okay. My producer Nico Manganiello and I thought we could hear Star Wars.
I thought for sure I heard the music back there. Maybe I'm going crazy.
I thought I heard it too. Keep going. Sorry, Carl. You were on a roll. I cut you off. Keep going.
Oh, Christ. I missed a missed call. That's my phone ringer. Yes, sir. You heard it through my pocket. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Phone.
There you go.
Good ringtone.
Yes, sir. It is. But what was I heard the description of the error that at second base that started the downfall of putting the people on the bases and then the hit, and then that brought them to tie us. What was that defensive error that's unusual that ended up starting that whole problem?
Well, which one, Carl? Because the Sox tonight, they didn't make any errors in this game. So I'm not sure what specific moment you're talking about.
Oh, okay. I must have understood. I thought they had a error at second base. They ended up getting a man on base because of a throwing error, and then they got someone on first, and then it was first and third, and then that started the sequence to get us to a 4-4 tie, like in the seventh or eighth inning when they got them two runs.
No, it was a walk. It was a walk. They had a pinch hitter with Brennan Bernardino on the mound. They put a right-handed bat in there, and Andy Ibañez, he walks. A single by Vierling put runners on first and second, and then they keep Brennan Bernardino in the game because Kerry Carpenter, who hit the three-run home run that tied it up, he struggles against left-handed pitchers. Against left-handed pitchers. And, you know, I still probably would have, and you guys know, Carl, you know because you listen to this show, how much I love Alex Cora. I probably would have been more comfortable with a reliever like Slayton or Martin to just have the fresh eighth inning, knowing tomorrow that you have Scooble, so this was kind of a must-win game. But the logic behind keeping Bernardino in from Alex Cora's perspective is that Carpenter, who hit the three-run home run, he's a left-handed hitter, and he was 1-for-21 this year against left-handed pitchers with 7 strikeouts. So that's why they left Bernardino in. And I think, as I kind of said in our Nissan postgame show, that whole sequence would have been talked about a lot more after this one had they lost. But the fact that they pull it out, it ends up just being a footnote.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's the difference between a footnote and the loss of the footing. That's what they say about it. You shake the boat and steady ground. So I got a quick comment about how Durant is actually 8th in batting average overall in the entire league and top 10. And this is the funny part. When you mentioned our on-the-road record, here's the ultimate reality. How many of these NBA games are on the road? Because this could really be a quick shift in the wind. If they go left and we go right, how many games we got? 20 out of the last 23 on the road?
So they have, yeah, and Carl, appreciate the call. If you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. Nico, that was good on you to hear the Star Wars in the background. I was locked into what he was saying, but when you got in my ear, it's asked, did he have it in the background? I did hear it, so I'm glad he could confirm that for
us. I thought something was playing in here. I was like, where is that coming from? And then I was like, it must be Carl. I was like, was he watching TV before?
I get it. And at least we found out it was the ringtone after that. So they have 2 more games against the Tigers, then they have 3 against the Mets, so that's 5 more road games there. They do have a big series against the Yankees that's coming up from September 12th to the 15th. So then you're at 9 at that point, 3 more against the Rays, that's 12, and then they will have their last road series against the Blue Jays. So 15 more road games coming up for the Sox. And yeah, they've just played awesome away from Fenway, and there's no real explanation for it. Alex Cora has been asked about it a million times. He hasn't come up with a good answer. But hey, if you win on the road, if that's the way the season's kind of gone, you better take care of business And while this Tigers team came in 13-4 over their last 17 games, they were a seller at the deadline. I mean, they traded away Jack Flaherty, so they've been playing well, and they have a promising future. But this is the type of series you need to win. But tonight was important because you got Skubal tomorrow going for Detroit. And he's been pitching 5-6 innings, you know, as Lou was talking about at the end of the broadcast there. So maybe you're not getting the guy that was really dominant earlier in the season, but it's still Tarek Skubal, still 15-4. He's still got an ERA at about 2.5 this year. It's going to be a tough task, and especially since Nick Pivetta hasn't been great this season. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review. Again, awesome win tonight. Eventually, we got there. To the end, despite a roller coaster ride, as has been the case many times with this Sox season, but they do win 7-5 in 10 innings. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Danny in the car. What's going on, Danny?
So, hey, the boys of summer for us Red Sox fans, they pull out another huge game. Sadon. I'm going to give him the nickname of the toothpick. This kid is unbelievable, whether he's in center field, shortstop, and then he's hitting these homers like you mentioned a little earlier. Hey, the batting average isn't great, but he just seems to pull it out. The toothpick seems to pull it out in the big moments. Alex Cora, really happy tonight. Good to see that. And we got Minnesota coming up in September. We're finally going to be at a Patriots game in October, and they're going to announce a score. Red Sox win 5-2, and it's October baseball. It's coming to a theater near you. I'll hang up and listen to your comments. So.
I love the enthusiasm, Danny, because I love all the callers we get, but the enthusiasm, the optimism, we just don't get all that often from people who chime in.
We do not.
Program on a regular basis. So, Danny, you fired me up calling in there. I don't know if the nickname, the toothpick.
He needs a better one. I get Sadon skinny, but like, I don't know. You can't compliment the guy and then say he's a toothpick.
Right. I don't think that's going to stick. I don't think that's going to stick.
I don't think so either.
He just exudes aura, right? Sadon Rafaela. I mean, when I think of him and I think of this season, I think of that time that he fielded that ground ball at short. It was like a really nice pick, and he was blowing a bubble, you know, with his bubble gum while he was doing it. But that kid is just cool under pressure. And yes, offensively, there's some flaws there. We know about that. His chase rate, the fact that he does go after pitches out of the zone too often, and you look at the slash line offensively for him this year, even with the home run, he as of now, he's at .256 in terms of his average, .286 on base, .404 slugging percentage. So his OPS isn't at .700. But he has had some huge swings of the bat, and just the coolness of a player like him to be able to handle shortstop and center field as much as he has this year and to not wilt under the pressure of being a rookie, playing in Boston, trying to handle two premium defensive spots, he deserves so much credit. And I go back and forth in my head about who's the better rookie this year in terms of if I was to vote for Red Sox for Rookie of the Year, would you go with Abreu or would you go with Rafaela? I know David Hamilton's sort of in that mix as well. I think I'd probably go with one of those first two that I mentioned. But man, another huge swing from that guy. And he's had a couple. This is definitely one of those biggest moments of the year type swings. Again, I mentioned the Yankee Stadium one before that. That's also up there. But in this game, with the way the Sox ultimately won this, having blown the lead first before they got the lead back, this was huge, and especially because we're further down the line in this season with the playoffs rapidly approaching. Hard to believe, though, that we only have 27 games left after this, but that's where we are. Of course, we're at the end of August. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. It's coming down to a really important stretch, and hopefully the Sox can continue to win games against the Tigers. They do own them, you know, especially recently. I know they split their series at Fenway earlier this year, but the Sox are 13-3 against Detroit now over their last 16 games. They've won 6 straight at Comerica Park. And, you know, that takes into account a lot of bad Tigers teams. This is an average. It's a .500 Tigers team. I mean, that's what they are, 68-68. But this was big because you lose this, then again, you're not feeling so good about, you know, the way things are trending. And we'll see what, how the Twins and Blue Jays ultimately play out tonight. Of course, the Red Sox hoping that the Twins will lose. And they have a 2-0 lead. Minnesota top of the eighth inning against the Blue Jays. We still have so much to get to here on Red Sox Review. We'll continue to get to your calls. On top of that, we will play some sound from the clubhouse after this win, a 7-5 win in 10 innings. We'll also get you the highlights from tonight's game as well. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review. But before we go to break, let's go to Nico Manganiello with what's trending on WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
To Sadon, here's the pitch. Swinging a high drive into left field. This thing is back at the wall. It is gone! Sadon delivers an absolute bomb. 2-run shot, 6-4 Red Sox.
So I know he threw two heaters behind, but that's a dumb pitch. It really is. You threw two heaters behind him, by him. So as a hitter, what are you thinking? I got to get the head out. And that sets you up for a breaking ball down and away. He challenges him with the same fastball, and he hits it a mile. That is beautiful.
September's rapidly approaching, and the Sox are still in the playoff hunt. Thanks to that home run you just heard from Sadon Rafaela, a 2-run shot in the 10th inning to give the Sox a 6-4 lead. And that was the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in and save big on a new Nissan at the Nissan End of Summer Sales Event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Nico, would I be a bad new husband if on my wedding day, which is September 21st, I sneak a quick peek to see how the Sox are doing that day against Minnesota?
No, I think it's part of the job, Joe. It's part of the job.
we'll see what the wife-to-be thinks of that.
I think we're asking the wrong demographic
here. Yes, I would agree. Sox win 7-5, as I mentioned tonight, in 10 innings against Minnesota. This was a wild game. Sox looked like they had it going into the eighth inning, and then the Tigers start their comeback. 3-run shot by Kerry Carpenter off Brennan Bernardino, makes it a 1-run game. And then Kenley Jansen blows the save in the 9th inning. Jake Rogers with a game-tying RBI double. But he gets out of the 9th inning without any more damage. It stays a 4-4 game going into extras. And then that blast by Rafaela gives the Sox the lead for good. Duran follows it up with a solo shot of his own. And Detroit gets one back in the bottom of the 10th. But that's it. Sox now on the road, 39-27 this year. And lost in all this was how well Tanner Houck pitched tonight. And I hit on it in the pregame show. His struggles, you know, in the second half, by second half meaning after the All-Star break, and the difference between the numbers before and after the All-Star break and just how startling they were, and in some ways expected, because again, he's so far past the total innings he's ever thrown in his professional career. He came into tonight with 158 2/3. He adds 6 more to that tally. So now he's at 164 2/3. But before the All-Star break, he was 8-6, 2.54 ERA, and he was averaging close to a strikeout per nine inning, per nine. He was at 8.62 Ks per nine. His whip was at 1.03, 2 walks per nine, and then in terms of home runs, at roughly 0.4 homers per nine. After the All-Star break, coming into tonight, he was 0-3, ERA of 5.18. He had given up a homer per nine. He was averaging close to 4 walks per nine. And to me, that plus this other stat, that he was at 5.4 strikeouts per nine, to me were the most startling part of all of it. And those two numbers that you just heard, I mean, those were among the worst in Major League Baseball among starting pitchers. So that K per nine mark that I just told you about, that was 74th out of 74 qualified starters since the All-Star break. His whip, which was at 1.58 after the All-Star break, was 73rd out of 74 qualified starters. The walks per nine, that was 69th out of 74 qualified starters. So he had fallen off. Now, I think to his credit, he was still giving the Red Sox some length in his outings, and I think that is a big thing considering the bullpen at a time when Justin Slayton was out specifically. It was pretty taxed, and it was showing itself right out of the gate there in the second half of the season. But to get to the playoffs, they need this guy to get back on track because he's their ace. He was their only pitching all-star, and he's had overall still a really good season. And tonight, he was awesome. He was throwing that sinker a lot more, and that was one of the things that stood out about tonight's performance because, you know, he came into tonight's start, he threw the sweeper like 42% of the time in his starts. That was ticked down to 32% tonight. He threw the sinker the most, 34 times out of 95 pitches, 36% of the time, and it worked for him. He got a lot of called strikes on that pitch, and I thought this stat was so telling tonight. So he had 27 called strikes. That is the most in any start or any outing of his professional career. He was pouring in strikes, and for a lot of this game, a lot of first pitch strikes. So he ended up facing 24 batters, and he threw 16 first pitch strikes, so roughly 67%. And there was one stretch he actually tossed a first pitch strike to 8 consecutive batters. That's the type of stuff we saw from Tanner Houck at the beginning of the year, pouring in strikes in the zone. And I like that he's changed it up a little bit now, using that sinker, knowing that as this season has gone on, the batters have been sitting on that sweeper, that the breaking stuff that has gotten hit a little bit harder. But he made a tweak. He made an adjustment. He was awesome tonight. The final line, 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs. He walked 2, struck out 6. He did hit 2 batters, but I love the way he ended this outing by getting, he had first and second, one out, bottom of the 6th inning. He retired the next 2 batters in Young and Torkelson to ultimately get out of that threat and keep it, at that point, a 4-0 ball game. And, you know, again, he doesn't end up getting the win, but thank goodness the Red Sox won, because I hit on this stat too in the pregame. You know, he had made 7 starts since the All-Star break. The Sox had lost every single one of those games. Now, I mentioned the numbers and how poor they were for Tanner since the All-Star break, and he was, you know, a large part of why they hadn't won in a lot of those games. Maybe not every single one of them, but a lot of them. This would have been a tough one for him not to at least be a part of a victory in some way because he pitched so well. He was awesome. They need this version of him down the stretch, and hopefully this is the start of a turn back toward that all-star form that we saw at the beginning of the season. Let's hear what he had to say after the 7-5 victory for the Sox in 10 innings.
I felt good. Struggled last time with command and felt like I accomplished my goal of, you know, getting back in the zone, going right after hitters. Overall stuff was maybe down just a little bit in terms of movement, but go out there and, you know, with the best stuff you have that day and compete and, you know, ultimately just help the guys be in the best position to win. And, you know, regardless, like I said, of how you're feeling, you got to go out there and still compete.
And where you guys are in the standings and what you're trying to accomplish, I mean, you kind of, you know, the starters need to continue what's been going on. Do you feel like you've kind of gained a little second wind here maybe lately? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel good physically still. You know, it comes down to having good individual days in the weight room and in the training room and, you know, being honest with how the body's feeling. Ultimately, you know, having those good conversations with those people will help get you through this last stretch of the season. So all, you know, guns blazing here, keep going and finish strong.
He kind of mentioned how the starters have been doing well this turn in the rotation. How much you guys kind of take it upon yourselves to, as you said, finish strong, especially with under 30 games to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really starts with us on you know, how the game starts, and if we're falling behind and, you know, walking people, you know, we're not putting the team in the best position to win. So, you know, this little stretch of us all kind of clicking together and putting some quality starts together is big. So it's time to, you know, step up and keep doing it.
How much did you feel like you were able to get your command back as the game went on?
You know, it's quality conversations in between innings with Bales and Wong, and just working through delivery and timing, and still fought it a little bit, but ultimately, you know, go out there and compete with the best stuff.
Thanks, Tim.
I was going to ask one. Sorry. Come on, Jesus. No, Cora said many times that, you know, that Rafaela, you know, thrives in the big moment, wants to be. What have you seen in his personality that allows him to do that?
I think him being calm, cool, and collected the entire time, you know, even with two strikes there, didn't panic late in that time, and made a big league adjustment to get to that fastball up, even though it was about four balls up. But ultimately, you know, he's got an incredible talent, quick hands, good vision. So for him to go out there and do that in that big moment again, you know, all kudos to him.
All right, so that was Tanner Houck talking after his performance tonight, that last part about Sadon Rafaela. And I think all the teammates of Sadon are in awe of the way he's been able to handle this year and the cool that he exudes out there on the field. And he had the biggest swing of the night, the two-run home run in the 10th inning. And I love that call. We played at the beginning of this segment. Will was amazing on the call, and then Lou's commentary afterward and saying that that was just a dumb pitch by Shelby Miller. And for good reason, because, yeah, you throw two fastballs to him, and then you try to do it one more time, knowing he's going to try to turn on it if you throw it to him one more time. And we know Sadon chases pitches out of the zone. I mean, that's just one part of his game. And when I say that, mostly breaking balls out of the zone. But he crushed that one to left field with Miller challenging a fastball again on Rafaela, and he ends up sending it out. Again, Sox won 7-5 tonight in 10 innings against the Detroit Tigers. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Nico Manganiello behind the glass. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. But for Tanner, I'm glad he was able to be a part of a victory with himself on the mound for the first time since July 11th when he got his last win. He deserved the win tonight. He should have gotten the win tonight, but the bullpen gave up the lead and allowed this game to go into extra innings. And, you know, I was talking about the seven starts after the All-Star break, and, you know, he did mix in some good ones. Actually, four of the seven were quality starts, but even so, the sharpness from what we saw in the first half hasn't quite translated consistently in the second half. He gave up six runs in his last start against Arizona that he got the loss in six innings. But today, rolling with that sinker more than the sweeper, and that was part of the formula. But again, just pouring in strikes was absolutely key for Tanner Houck tonight. Again, we want to keep hearing from you after this great win. So 617-779-7937, the number to call in. I do want to get to one text before we go back to the phone lines here. But there's one interesting text, and it's a person chiming in saying, bottom line, and he said he, meaning Houck, should have come back out for the seventh. Formulaic overmanaging by Cora. I am so tired of modern day managers babying their starters. And what I say back to this person that is chiming in is that text completely lacks context to the season that Tanner Houck is still in, right? We are still 27 games to go this year. And Houck, you know, he made his 27th start tonight. So you figure with the turns around the rotation, he at the very least will have four, but most likely five left. He's at 164 and two-thirds innings. His career high was 119 when he was in high A. You have to play the long game here. And especially for a team that's in playoff contention like the Sox are. They're not out of it. So I don't understand the thought process there. Now, if that texter wanted to chime in and say, hey, the Sox should have gone to Justin Slayton or Chris Martin in the eighth inning, That's a real conversation starter to me. That's a conversation that we can have. Because as you guys know listening, if you listen to me on a night-to-night basis or you catch me during the week, you know I love Alex Cora. I think he's one of the best managers in the sport. But as I was watching it play out, I questioned Brendan Bernardino going out there for his second inning. You got a good inning out of him. You have guys you can go to in the bullpen. Chris Martin did not pitch in yesterday's game, so he was available. Kenley Jansen was obviously available for the ninth. Justin Slayton didn't pitch in yesterday's game either. So you could have gone to those two guys. And I didn't love that they rolled out Bernardino for that second inning. And yes, Carpenter doesn't hit left-handed pitching, and I understand the logic. I understand why they did it, because he was 1-for-21 against left-handed pitchers this year, but I would have preferred having the fresh reliever out there for the eighth inning, a guy that you can trust, whether it's a Martin or a Slayton, in a game that you want to win because Scooble's on the mound tomorrow. Now, the Sox get it done tonight regardless, so that was great, and it ends up all being a moot point. But if the prompt is going to be that Alex Cora was babying Tanner Houck, I completely disagree with that. He let him get through the sixth inning. There was 2-on-1 out. He could have taken him out. But instead, no. He said, okay, I trust my guy. Let me see him get through this inning. And he gets the next two batters out and ends the inning. 95 pitches at the end of that outing. And he's thrown way more innings than he ever has in his career. So give me a break on that. 617-779-7937. Chris Martin got the save in this one, so he didn't end up getting used in the eighth inning. He was saved for the 10th, or he was ultimately used in the 10th inning after Kenley Jansen blew it in the 9th. Let's hear what Chris Martin now had to say after a big win for the Sox in Motown.
Oh, you know, just got to stay ready down there. This is a hard game. You know, some things didn't go our way down there, but, you know, we pulled it off. So.
What kind of pleased are you with, you know, how well you've been able to pitch since you came back?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I think getting over the hump of the recovery side was the most important thing. I feel like I did enough work to be able to repeat my mechanics and things like that behind the scenes. So, to be honest, I'm pretty surprised. I was just luckily that I've been getting in quite a few games here and being able to kind of get back into it quickly.
How big was just Kenley's ability to kind of readjust in mid-inning there? The Riley Green's pretty dangerous just to be able to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, Kenley's been in that situation a lot of times. He probably won't be his last time in it. So I'm glad I was able to pick the team up there and get in there and get the job done.
Kind of spoke about this before, but how important have making the appearance has been to you getting back in sync and everything working in order?
You know, I think it's been really good. Obviously, getting over the recovery side, finally starting to bounce back quicker, and, you know, obviously getting out there and getting into games is good for the mentals and mechanics and all that stuff. Tall, lanky, I need to get in sync, so.
You guys had a late night last night. You know, coming today, it's hot and humid. I mean, kind of a good team win to get this one.
Oh, great team win. Yeah, it was a tough travel night. Got in pretty late. AC. Had a little show and go, you know, let the guys get some rest and come in here and just mentally get ready for a ball game. Guys did great. Obviously, the game got tied up. They went right back out there and threw some punches, and glad we pulled it off.
Being a strike thrower yourself, how much you appreciate what, you know, Justin Slayton has been able to do, like just coming off the IL, I mean, you're just throwing strikes constantly.
He's been okay. No, he's unbelievable, man. Yeah, I think just going out there and attacking the zone, I think that's everyone's goal in the bullpen. And obviously, you're going to have good ones, you're going to have bad ones. You just got to keep rolling with the punches.
I love that answer about Justin Slayton, the sarcasm there from Chris Martin, who maybe this has flown a little bit under the radar because he had an IL stint mixed in here when he had elbow inflammation, and that's what he was talking about there. But Chris Martin, over his last, 16 appearances, has allowed just one earned run, and that's in 15 combined innings. He has been huge down the stretch, and he gets a save tonight, having to pitch the 10th inning, and the Sox end up taking it by a score of 7-5 in 10 over the Detroit Tigers here tonight. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. We still want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. And he's going to be a big arm for this team down the stretch. So will Justin Slayton. It is so great to have those two guys back. This bullpen was hurting without those two guys, both of them hitting the IL with elbow inflammation at one point. But both of them pitched tonight, and both of them post scoreless appearances. And while Kenley ends up getting the blown save, while Brandon Bernardino gives up the big three-run home run tonight, the Sox ultimately pull it out. They take the dub in Detroit, and they take game one of this three-game set, most specifically. Get you an update here on the Twins score. Of course, the Sox right now are trying to chase down the Minnesota Twins. That game's in the top of the ninth inning. There's two outs, runner on second. Twins ahead 2-0 over the Blue Jays, so they are one out away from winning it. We'll give you an update on it on the other side of this break. When we come back, we'll also get you the highlights from tonight's game as well. We'll wrap up Red Sox review, and then we'll close it out by previewing tomorrow's game between the Sox and the Tigers. Boston a winner, 7-5-10 against Detroit. Back after this on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Little Rage Against the Machine to bring us back to close it out for our final segment of Red Sox Review. Always expect the best from producer extraordinaire Nico Manganiello. By the way, if you missed it, Red Sox won 7-5 tonight in 10 innings against the Tigers. Joe Wild with you here on Red Sox Review. We appreciate you joining us for tonight's post-game coverage of what was an awesome win. And it's time now to bring you all the highlights from what was a game that felt great at the beginning and then not so much before it felt great at the end. So let's take you through it. The Sox in the first inning, as they have for a ton of games recently, got a leadoff hit from Jarren Duran. He has now posted a hit to lead off the first inning in 8 of the last 11 games. He ripped a double to center field, and that would end up being one of 3 extra base hits. We'll get into his game as we go along here with this highlight recap. So he was on second with nobody out. Willy Abreu moved him to third with one out with a ground out. And then Tristan Casas stepped to the plate. He didn't need to hit it all that far to bring Jarren Duran in.
Here's the pitch, and Tristan softly on the ground. Duran is coming home, and he's going to score on a dribbler fielded by Mize. Speed kills, and it's 1-0 Red Sox.
So Jarren Duran with the double sets up that run. 8-for-11 in his last 11 plate appearances in the first inning with 7 extra base hits. He now has 20 leadoff extra base hits, which is the most in Major League Baseball this season, and the most by a Red Sox player in the expansion era. So that's since 1961. Sox led 1-0. Then in the third, Romy Gonzalez singled to lead off the inning. And then Jarren Duran ends up hitting a double in kind of the funkiest fashion. It was a ground ball up the middle that the shortstop couldn't ultimately field for the Tigers there, Trey Sweeney. It hit off his glove, trickled into right center field. Wasn't an error. It ends up being a double. So that puts second and third with one out. Willy Abreu then drives in Gonzalez to make it a 2-0 game. And then in the third inning, Tyler O'Neill, he reached on a walk. He ends up swiping second base. And then Connor Wong stepped to the plate and delivered the first of 2 extra base hits for him on the night.
The 1-2 pitch is ripped on the ground inside the third base bag. Fair ball to the corner, and O'Neill will score. Wong is around first. He's into second, and it's 3-0 Red Sox.
And that was great to see from Connor Wong, because coming into tonight, since the start of the post-All-Star break stretch, he was hitting just .233 with an OPS hovering around .650. So that made it a 3-0 game. And then in the sixth inning, Casey Mize was still on the mound for the Tigers. He was the starter tonight for Detroit. He ends up giving one up to Wong, who took it out to left.
0-2. Is high in the air into deep left field. It's back at the track. It's at the wall. It is gone. Connor Wong goes deep, and the Red Sox lead it 4-0.
12th home run of the season for Connor Wong. So, okay, we were feeling good. Red Sox leading 4-0. Tanner Houck finished off his great outing by getting the last two batters out. It was 2-on-1 out in the bottom of the sixth inning, but he worked out of that jam. Tanner Houck's final line, 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. He did hit 2 batters, but he tossed 95 pitches, 59 of which for strikes. He also had 27 called strikes tonight, the most he has had in any outing in his major league career. It was awesome to see him perform like he did in the first half of the season. So Again, Sox were leading 4-0. That remained the score going into the bottom of the eighth inning. Brendan Bernardino, he had tossed a 1-2-3 bottom of the seventh, but he ends up going back out there for the eighth. And with two on and one out, Kerry Carpenter got the Tigers back into the game.
And a high fly ball into deep left field. O'Neill is back at the track. He's at the wall, and it is gone. An opposite field three-run homer, and it's 4-3 Red Sox in the eighth.
And that was Carpenter's only, that was only a second hit against a left-handed pitcher all season long. That made it a 4-3 game. Kenley Jansen came on in the ninth inning, and he ends up giving up the lead. Jake Rogers coming through with a big knock.
And here's the pitch. Swinging a shot into left field, and it's going to tie the game. O'Neill is back to his right. He's going to pick it up off the track in the wall. Rogers spinning for second. McKinstry scores. It's 4-4 in the ninth. Hanging cutter, and Rogers ripped it.
Fourth blown save of the season for Kenley Jansen. So we were tied at four, but to his credit, Kenley Jansen retires the next two batters, and we go into extra innings. Game tied at four, runner on for Sadon Rafaela, and he delivers the biggest swing of the game.
To Sadon, here's the pitch. Swing and a high drive into left field. This thing is back at the wall. It is gone! Sadon delivers an absolute bomb. Two-run shot, 6-4 Red Sox.
So I know he threw two heaters by him, but that's a dumb pitch. It really is.
Yeah, I just love that commentary from Lou. And the reason that he said that is because Shelby Miller threw two fastballs prior to that pitch, and Sadon swung through both of them. But it, what Lou is trying to make a point of there is that
that's a dumb pitch.
You don't go back to that same pitch. You go to a different pitch. You try to get him to maybe chase a breaking ball, but instead he challenges him again with a fastball, and Sadon Rafaela takes it out. Can we play it one more time?
Peter's buying, but that's a dumb pitch.
Of course. I mean, that was just such good commentary from Lou, and of course, a great call there from Will. So that made it a 6-4 game, that two-run home run by Sadon Rafaela. Next batter, Jarren Duran, he launches one out.
Holton throws. Jarren rocks one deep to right field. Adios! Are you kidding me? Back to back. Duran launches, and it's 7-4 Red Sox.
431 feet off the bat from Jarren Duran, and that caps the scoring for the Sox. Jarren Duran, three extra base hits tonight. He's got 78 now on the season. Sox take it ultimately 7-5 against the Tigers, so they take game one of this three-game set. They have to face the leading candidate for the AL Cy Young Award tomorrow, though, Tarek Skubal. Nick Pivetta going for the Sox. But we'll see if the Sox can ultimately get another in Motown. Twins did win, by the way, 2-0. So Sox still 3.5 out of that third wild card spot with 27 games left to go. But we're about to get into September after tomorrow, and Boston's still in the playoff hunt. Should be fun to catch that game tomorrow. Thank you to Nico Manganiello. Great work as always. Behind the glass with him, working with him, it's always a good day. I'm Joe Weil giving you the final one final time. Red Sox 7, Tigers 5 in 10. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review. Have a great night.